freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves! A bunch of slaves!
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
We'll be right back. I absolutely hate you right now.
My name is S.M. Gibson. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. It is August the 30th, 2016. Well, there's a lot going on in the news today. Of course, we've got Colin Kaepernick, which we're going to get into here in a little bit. We also have the guy with the Huffington Post that got fired.
Yet another journalist that has lost their job due to the fact that they have questioned the health of Hillary Clinton. Again, it's just like everything else with Hillary. You know, if it's not a secret, then just come out with it. Okay, I've got such and such, and I'm seeing a doctor about it. It's none of your business. The problem is the job that she is running for, President of the United States, requires you to be in, well, somewhat good health, or at least you would hope so anyways. So, yeah, there's, you know, again.
It's a conspiracy to say otherwise.
It's another of a long line of people who have had any ill thing to say against Hillary suddenly finding themselves out of a job or finding themselves committing suicide four or five times in the back of the head. I mean, you know.
Well, how long have I talked about? That's why I say, you know, this is not a new thing that's been going on. I think it's the internet age that has allowed us to really start seeing what's going on, because we had Terrence Yakey, the Oklahoma City cop, that committed suicide by torturing himself to death, dragging himself through a field and shooting himself execution style in the back of the head. Mm-hmm. And it gets worse. Like, that's just kind of the quick overview. This is a cop. Like, people talk about how they love cops, but that it's the tech, you know, it's the digital age. Everybody's connected now.
And information is being spread, and a lot of people from a lot of different places are suddenly waking up to truths. I mean, just absolute truths. Yes, we spent money on this. Yes, we set so-and-so up into power.
You
start connecting these dots, and I mean, you know, the truth is inescapable. And that's why we're in a day and age where people can still, you know, they can still fool themselves into believing that this system, this little puppet show that's set up with Trump on one side just pretty much saying whatever comes off the top of his crazy head, or we have Hillary over here that's going to remain, I plead the fifth on every single question you ask her about anything. I guarantee you could ask her what she ate for dinner last night, and she's going to give you a half-truth. Well, I can't seem to recall, you know what I'm saying? And that seems to be her stock response for pretty much everything. And these are the people that we've set up for, you know, our representative to the rest of the world. This is what America's about, those two assholes. Nah, I'll pass.
Well, you got a Huffington Post, now former contributor.
Former, out of a job, working at...
Talking about how he's scared for his life. That's nuts that we live in that. You know, we were talking earlier, I really believe this is to do with technology, because in modern times, we saw people really on a mass level, 60s, like things got pretty loud in the 60s, but you had like color TVs in every house. We had a war, Vietnam, that they were showing on TV, which they learned not to do ever again if they could help it, not the way they showed Vietnam.
No. It's a much, much different affair now on television, on broadcast television.
Right.
What our comings and goings.
Because when we had,
particularly in the Middle
because
East.
Because when we had Korea, you know, technology, you know, TVs weren't like they were in the mid to late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you got the president getting shot, you've got King getting shot, you got Bobby King or Bobby Kennedy getting shot, and then there were civil rights leaders, you know, all through that time, people in the streets all over the country. And I think it was the technology and people seeing this and people kind of communicating in ways they hadn't in the past. And the government's like, oh, I think from this moment on, we shall begin lying to them about everything that happens, because this isn't what we need to happen. We're just going to have to lie from here on out. Well, now we have the internet. And thanks to the internet, people are sharing and people are seeing. And I think the internet can be, you know, a detriment too, because people believe some crazy, crazy stuff.
Lizard people. Hillary's definitely a weirdo, but lizard people, I don't know. I kind of draw the line there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty out there.
So apparently,
that's not my,
if she's a lizard person, she has a human condition that she is desperately, desperately trying to hide, as usual, just like most of the other pertinent information about one Miss Hillary Clinton. Remember how she lost her job in that whole Watergate thing?
Well, she is.
She kind of fudged. Yeah, she fudged some numbers a little bit. She was kind of. She wasn't really a truthful employee, and they had to let her go. And that's how she started her career in politics.
Well, you know, she wants to take over the world, man.
But she's still using the same tactics she was.
Even though she wouldn't do anything.
Eager young lawyer-to-be.
I mean, she was capable and she would do stuff, but I think the administration they brought with her would do all the damage, and the people that had bought and paid for her would do all the damage. I don't think it would personally be her because, you know, she doesn't seem like she's all there.
Well, you know my thoughts on this, not a would do, but will do when it happens, when it all goes down. Where's Trump's numbers at in the polls? Go ahead and say it again. Polls? What are polls?
That's exactly what I'm going to say. So what? Big deal.
Yeah. They're already skewing it in our favor in every single direction, just like they're supposed to. Everybody's reading from the script. You don't see it.
Did you see the thing that Trump Jr. tweeted out that it was so phony looking? It really was. It was bad, bad, bad Photoshop. And that Hillary had paid the public policy polling company, whatever it is, whatever amount of money, X hundred thousand dollars, $200,000, whatever. And to fix the polls for her. Mm-hmm. But it was so phony looking. And he shared it. That's the game they're playing. I think people see that and they go, oh, wow, they're idiots. I think what Donald Trump is doing is he's a lawyer in court and he's just saying the craziest thing he can say and waiting for the other lawyer to go, objection. He goes, oh, never mind. Don't worry about it.
Johnny Cochran.
But by then, it's already been said.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Just because the judge says, you know, don't listen to that, doesn't mean you hadn't already heard it. And I think that's the game Trump is playing. I think he's really trying to, like, it's this WWE programming thing.
Yeah.
And that terrifies me. That terrifies me more than I think what people really look at him. I think, you know, like I say, I don't think him personally is racist because I don't think he cares about anything other than himself and money. That's it.
Well,
his ego. He may like, you know, his kids.
We also have...
And I could be wrong. Look,
Gary
I'm not
Thompson
him.
Back over in the corner.
I'm not him. I could be wrong.
Gary's got his hand up. Pick me. Pick me.
Well, I told you about that. I told you about those people.
Get Romney with pot.
Yep. So, anyway...
Well, you referenced it at the top of the show, Mr. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, man. I think brave kid. I really think he's a brave kid for doing that.
You know, I've listened to this because you and I both know I don't have broadcast television in my home. I get up, I have various different streaming sources and stuff like that, and I stay away from a lot of live broadcast stuff until something catches my eye and I kind of need to burrow down and figure out what all the fuss is about this one particular story. And I heard about this a couple days ago. What has it been, a day or two since all of this has kind of started to really blow up? And sat down with you a little while ago and actually listened to the interview. Mostly in its entirety. I don't think we got to the last few minutes of it, but heard enough of it to really get a good gist of what he's talking about. And we are going to play the interview later on in the show. This is the initial interview that has got everybody all stirred up. And one very important reason that we're going to play this, and the only reason that we're going to rebroadcast this, is the fact that nobody has actually sat and listened to the whole entire interview. They've heard a sound bite here, a sound clip here, somebody's opinion of it on a talk show, some talking head over here saying something about it, some little scathing piece here. We've, you know, of course, it's brought out some of the more darker elements of the internet. Finding out which one of our friends on our friends list is racist, that sort of thing. I don't know, it's such a small little thing that he did. He's not the only one to have ever done it. There have been anecdotes floating around.
I just can't believe people are so openly racist on the internet. Like, that blows my mind.
Well, and largely, most of the interview, like, what he's talking about is not a racial issue. It's not a white-black thing that he's talking about. He's discussing a lot of the issues that we talk about on this show day in and day out, Monday through Friday. Come on now. So, you know, I'm sorry.
I don't think, because look, he talks about how he's privileged and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things I want to mention this, because we've got the story that went viral over the weekend called Six Stories More Important Than Talking About a Football Player that didn't stand up during a song. And the first story we've got on there is 76-year-old veteran kills himself in the VA parking lot after being denied treatment.
The system.
That's crazy!
That's your system. That's a system that Colin was talking about.
Like, there's so many veterans that are killing themselves right now.
So many veterans are homeless.
So sad. And look, I think if you listen to the context of what he said, people somehow got it in their head that standing up for people, no matter, like, if you say anything, you're automatically this knee-jerk against the troops. You're against the troops. Oh, man, how dare you? I personally experienced it during the Chris Kyle stuff. It's like you make one comment about one person. That's it, one guy. We're not talking about anybody else. Oh, you just automatically, people jump down your throat. How dare you speak ill of the troops? How dare you? But troops, look, man, they've had to deal with it as bad as anybody. They got sent to a war for no reason. None. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got everybody mad at the kid because those troops died for our freedom. I hate to say this because I know there are people that died for our freedom, and this isn't to take away from that whatsoever. But in Colin Kaepernick's lifetime, in my lifetime, what war have we fought for our freedom? I've seen this plundering of resources. Unfortunately. And these kids, it feels like, are dying in vain.
That's exactly what we're going through right now at Middle East.
And it's terribly, terribly sad. You know, and I know that's going to upset people. But look, all these veterans killing themselves, why do you think that is? Like, I can't imagine. What, first off, what they're going through over there. And for what? For what? Like, people should be furious.
Well, also, especially when they get home. After they put in their service and they witness those horrors and have to do horrendous things in the name of freedom, they come back home and they're treated like shit.
And listen, that's it. And look, we're seeing
meat.
And I'm telling you, I stress this. Predominantly, percentage-wise, black people get it worse and from the police brutality stuff. But this is a white and black thing. And the problem is when something happens to anyone, any human being, regardless. Now, there are instances where cops, you don't hear about some crazy guy attacked some cop, they killed him. We're seeing unarmed instances over and over and over. Some just crazy thing happens, and there's no justice. There's no justice brought to the families. It's like 1 in 1,000 that if a cop kills somebody, that doesn't, again, it goes back to the troops. That is in no way, shape, or form to demonize cops. There's cops that keep order in society, and there's cops that, yeah, there ain't no order. They are the order in their minds. We have to remember this is a person-by-person thing. We're all here, okay? We're all here. We're all in this together. We got to stop viewing it any other way, I think. And we need to pull each other up. Whatever color you are, we got to pull each other up. You know, and if that means look across the aisle, if that means, you know, keep it in-house, we got to love each other and pull each other up, because this is, it's out of control.
I agree. And I don't know. I think we need to just
think about how many kids are getting shot in Chicago right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the violence on the street there.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's when the government gets involved. We look, the reality is these cities has more government control. Chicago. The more laws, the more the government's involved, the worse it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I stress. I don't think we are in any way, shape, or form ready for some revolution of any sort of way. That, you know, I think sometimes when I say some of the stuff, it sounds like that. But no, look, the government has shown over and over and over. They do what they want. They do what they want. I don't know what you think you're going to do, but they're going to do what they want. So, I don't think that's an option, and I hate to say it, and I hate to be defeatist, and that's why I stress love, 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 love your love, you know, love your family members.
No, and again, you can go out with all the automatic weapons you want to.
Right.
You're not
going
to go
up against
the might of the United States military. There's a lot of people over in Middle Eastern countries will tell you that right now.
Yeah, they've got some crazy technology out there.
Yeah, like it's not going to happen.
It's kids playing video games.
Anybody that has any kind of delusions of grandeur that something like that's going to happen, or that they can stand up against the establishment in such a fashion. No, man.
But here's the thing, too. And look, here's the thing, too. What is that going to accomplish? That's what we want to get away from. That's the kind of mentality we need to be away from.
Well,
we need to stop being scared of each other. We need to stop living in fear and being scared of everything everybody.
Such an action would also justify their cause and justify the evil and wretched things that they're doing. Look. I mean, they're trying to shoot us. We're trying to help them. Yeah. I don't need help.
But
my rose.
Yeah. It's just sad, you know, the state we're in. And I really believe, you know, I believe it's much, much better than people think. And when I say that historically. I think it's been much, much worse in the past, you know. But it's because we have social media and we're able to see this for the first time. Because they're not going to play it on the news. You wouldn't have seen Tamir Rice on the news. That would have never happened. But now everything's being filmed. And because of that, people are seeing what's going on. And there's nothing wrong with asking for justice when innocent people are killed. Period. I mean, we're talking about taking someone's life. And if you're more concerned about if a person stood or not than people dying, think about what's going on in Syria. I mean, we could just go on about this all night. I tell you what, I'm going to pull this up. Shannon, I'm going to let you do the lead-in real quick.
Well, this is the interview that Colin Kaepernick, it was a post-game interview he had preseason, so it doesn't really count, versus Green Bay. And it was pointed out by members of the media and eventually brought to the team's attention, and the team, apparently, they had a discussion about it, which he'll disclose in the interview. But they had questioned him about it, and immediately he tells them this is like the third game that he had chosen not to stand during the national anthem. So he got pressed on it, and of course they basically opened up a line of questioning. So I'll let the interview kind of speak for itself. So here's Colin Kaepernick talking with reporters post-game 49ers Green Bay game.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for: freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
Is this something that's evolved as a philosophy in your mind? And how has this kind of progressed that you make a stand like this?
It's something that I've seen, I've felt, wasn't quite sure how to deal with originally. And it is something that's evolved. It's something as I've gained more knowledge about, you know, what's going on in this country in the past, what's going on currently. These aren't new situations. This isn't new ground. It's things that have gone on in this country for years and years and have never been addressed, and they need to be.
Will you continue to sit?
Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people by being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change, and when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
Specifically, what would you like to see change, and where would you to stand?
There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
Colin, so many people see the flag as kind of a symbol of the military. How do you view it, and what do you say to those people?
You know, I have great respect for men and women that have fought for this country. I have family, I have friends that have gone and fought for this country. And they fight for freedom. They fight for the people. They fight for liberty and justice for everyone. And that's not happening. I mean, people are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain up as far as, you know, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody. It's something that's not happening. And I've seen videos, I've seen circumstances where men and women that have been in the military have come back and been treated unjustly by the country they fought for and have been murdered by the country they fought for on our land. That's not right.
Do you personally feel oppressed?
There have been situations where I feel like I've been ill-treated, yes, but this stand wasn't for me. This stand wasn't because I feel like I'm being put down in any kind of way. This is because I'm seeing things happen to people that don't have a voice, people that don't have a platform to talk and have their voices heard and affect change. So I'm in a position where I can do that, and I'm going to do that for people that can't.
Is this the first year that you haven't stood up? Did you do it other years, or is this the first time?
This year is the first year that I've done this.
You did all the previous games so far?
Yes.
The first time was noticed.
Yes.
How did your teammates respond when you explained yourself today, and what was the support like for you?
The support I've got from my teammates has been great. You know, I think a lot of my teammates come from areas where this might be a situation. Their families might be put in this situation. It's something that I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, I really respect you for what you're doing and what you're standing for. So to me, that's something that I know what I'm doing that's right, and I know other people see what I'm doing is right. It's something that we have to come together, we have to unite, we have to unify and make a change.
What do you say to the people that say, hey, you're doing the right thing, but you're going about it the wrong way?
I don't understand how it's the wrong way. To me, this is a freedom that we're allowed in this country. And going back to the military thing, it's a freedom that men and women that have fought for this country have given me this opportunity by the contributions they've made. So I don't see it as going about it the wrong way. This is something that has to be said. It has to be brought to the forefront of everyone's attention. And when that's done, I think people can realize what the situation is and then really affect change.
You've done it every preseason game. Are you almost relieved that it took this game and the questioning that followed to let your voice be heard?
It wasn't something that I really planned as far as it blowing up. It was something that I personally decided I just can't stand for what this represents right now. It's not right. And the fact that it has blown up like this, I think is a good thing. You know, it brings awareness. Everybody knows what's going on, and this sheds more light on it. Now, I think people are really talking about it, having conversations about how to make change, what's really going on in this country, and we can move forward.
That's you concerned this is seen as like a blanket indictment of law enforcement in general?
What was that?
You're concerned that it can be seen as a blanket indictment against law enforcement in general?
As far as what? I don't really understand what you're trying to get at.
People getting murdered by police. I mean, do you think that it seems as sort of an indictment against police?
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have been targeted by police. Mm-hmm. So that's a large part of it. And they're government officials. They're put in place by the government. So, you know, that's something that this country has to change. Mm-hmm. There's things we can do to, you know, hold them more accountable, make those standards higher. You have people that practice law and are lawyers and go to school for 8 years, but you can become a cop in 6 months and don't have to have the same amount of training as a cosmetologist. That's insane. I mean, someone that's holding a curling iron has more education and more training than people that have a gun and are going out on the street to protect us.
Colin, you said doing stuff beyond sitting.
What was that?
Do you plan on doing stuff beyond sitting during the national anthem as far as activists kind of, you know, rolling your sleeves up and getting out in the communities?
Yeah, most definitely. There are things that I have in the works right now that I'm working on to, you know, put together in the future and come to fruition soon. Those are things that I'll talk about as we get closer to those days.
Now, let me say that this is it's a good thing that this is blowing up now because it's getting some attention. Any concern about the timing of it, a critical part of training camp, and the possibility of it being a distraction?
No, I don't see it as a distraction. I think it's something that can unify this team, is something that can unify this country. You know, if we have these real conversations that are uncomfortable for a lot of people, if we have these conversations, there's a better understanding where both sides are coming from. And if we reach common ground and can understand what everybody's going through, we can really affect change and make sure that everybody's treated equally and has the same freedom.
Has anybody from the league or the team or anybody said tone it down? I think clearly you're sticking your mind by now. It doesn't seem that anyone's trying to, from the organization, whatever, is trying to quiet you.
No, no one's tried to quiet me. And, you know, to be honest, it's not something I'm going to be quiet about. I'm going to speak the truth when I'm asked about it. It's not, this isn't for a look. This isn't for publicity or anything like that. This is for people that don't have the voice. And this is for people that are being oppressed and need to have equal opportunities, you know, to be successful, to provide for their families, and not live in poor circumstances.
Have you been pulled over unjustly? In your mind, have you been pulled over unjustly or had a bad experience in that regard?
Yes, multiple times. I mean, I've had times where one of my roommates was moving out of the house in college, and because we were the only black people in that neighborhood, the cops got called and all of us had guns drawn on us. I mean, came in the house without knocking, guns drawn on one of my teammates and roommates. So I have experienced this. People close to me have experienced this. This isn't something that's a one-off case here, a one-off case there. This has become habitual. It's become a habit. So it's something that needs to be addressed. I think there's a lot of consequences that come along with this. There's a lot of people that don't want to have this conversation, that, you know, they're scared they might lose their job or they might not get the endorsements. They might not be treated the same way. And those are things I'm prepared to handle. And those are things that, you know, other people might not be ready for. It's just a matter of where you're at in your life, where your mind's at. And at this point, I've been blessed to be able to get this far and, you know, have the privilege of being in the NFL and, you know, making the kind of money I make and enjoy luxuries like that. but I can't look in the mirror and see other people dying on the street that should have the same opportunities that I've had and say, you know what, I can live with myself, because I can't if I just watch.
Do you think you might get cut over this?
I don't know, but if I do, I know I do what's right, and I can live with that at the end of the day.
Does any of this reflect your relationship with the 49ers or with the NFL? Is this any part of that?
No, this is about the way people have been treated by this country.
When you addressed the team today, Colin, how long did you talk, and what was kind of the tone of it? It seemed like you were able to convert one person into your line of thinking that was a little skeptical.
No, it was a conversation that asked me to talk and just explain why I did what I did and why I felt the way I felt. And that's something, I had an open conversation with them. I told them why I felt that way and why I looked at things the way I do. And a lot of it has to do with the history of the country and where we're currently at. And, you know, I opened it up to all my teammates. Come talk to me if you have any questions. If you want to understand what I'm thinking further, come talk to me. This isn't something that should be hidden and shouldn't be talked about. These conversations need to happen, and I think it's something that can bring everybody closer.
Were there a couple guys that voiced how they felt against what you're doing to you?
There were, you know, I've had people say, no, I want to understand further, let's talk. So I've had those conversations, and we'll continue to have them with my teammates. That's something that the knowledge of what's happened in this country and is currently happening is something that I think everybody needs to know. And when you have the knowledge of those things, then you can make an educated decision on, you know, what you really feel and what you want to stand for.
Has any of this been a distraction? Like, politicians or, you know, people outside the sports world to tell you that they support your dreams?
I've had a few people reach out. Quite a few, actually. Saying, you know, we really support you, we're proud of you for taking that stand, we respect what you're doing, we know a lot's going to come with it, but we're behind you. And, you know, that means a lot. That means that I'm not the only one that feels this way, and I'm not the only one that sees things this way.
Is any of this going to distract the team from getting to the Super Bowl this year? Is there, you know, are you guys talking more today about this, or are you talking about planning to get to the Super Bowl?
No, we're focused on football while we're in meetings, while we're on the field. That's what our focus is. But in our free time, we have conversations about this. And that's not something that we should be ashamed about or shy away from. You know, we talk about football, we handle our business there, but there's also, you know, a social responsibility that we have to be educated on these things and talk about these things.
Did you consider, like, bringing, you know, forming an alliance and getting teammates to join you in this? And if not, why did you decide to go it alone?
This isn't something I'm going to ask other people to, you know, put their necks out for what I'm doing. If they agree with me and feel strongly about it, then by all means, I hope they stand with me. But I'm not going to go and try to recruit people and make sure, like, hey, come do this with me, because I know the consequences that come with that, and they need to make that decision for themselves.
In that same vein, did you reach out to anyone before you did this to seek their counsel, say, hey, what do you think about this?
This is a conversation I've had with a lot of people a lot of times over a long period of time. So it wasn't something that, you know, I planned on having a conversation about at a particular time. It just so happened it was the other night that people realized it and talked about it. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all
right. Clearly, you know, you understand why in this you want to bring a voice to other people, you want to raise consciousness about certain issues. Are you concerned, so much of the talk that the 24 hours has been about you and not necessarily the issues, are you concerned that could happen?
I do think that, you know, the talk has been more about me, more about, I know a lot of people's initial reactions thought it was bashing the military, which it wasn't. That wasn't my intention at all. I think now that we have those things cleared up, we can get to the root of what I was saying and really address those issues.
Since you've done this, other players who feel the same way but maybe not ready to step forward publicly?
There is a couple
other players who are kind of feel the same way that you do, but are afraid to really step forward publicly, like you have.
Yeah, I know there's other players that feel the same way. I've had players reach out to me. Once again, it's not something I'm going to ask them to put their necks out. I know the consequences that come along with my decision, and if they feel strongly about it and want to stand with me, then I hope they do. If it's something they're not ready for, that's what the conversations are for, and they can make that decision, when they're ready or if they're ready.
Do you feel you'll be safe in some of the road cities that you go to, and will you take some precautions? I mean, that's a legitimate thought.
Not really too concerned about that. At the end of the day, if something happens, that's only proving my point.
Dr. Edwards has some experience with public stances such as this. You were talking to him before practice. Is he someone you consulted with at any point on the right when you decided to do this?
Once again, it wasn't something I consulted anybody on. It was a conversation I had when someone asked me about it. Dr. Edwards is a good friend. He's someone I talk to a lot and run a lot of things by and have a lot of conversations with. And we have a lot of similar views.
Colin, the fact that this is an election year, does this have anything to do with the timing?
Once again, it wasn't a timing thing. It wasn't something that was planned. But I think the two presidential candidates that we currently have also represent the issue that we have in this country right now.
You want to expound on that?
You have Hillary, who's called black teens or black kids super predators. You have Donald Trump, who's openly racist. We have a presidential candidate who's deleted emails and done things illegally and is a presidential candidate. But that doesn't make sense to me, because if there was any other person, you'd be in prison. So what is this country really standing for?
It is a country that's elected a black man president twice, Colin. Can you see people say why the outrage in a country that has elected a black president has done many things, sacrificed a lot of things?
It has elected a black president, but there are also a lot of things that haven't changed. There are a lot of issues that still haven't been addressed. And, that's something over an 8-year term, there's a lot of those things that are hard to change. There's a lot of those things that he doesn't necessarily have complete control of.
If you would say that, what would it be a success for you on this? Just in the short term?
No, that's a tough question, because there's a lot of things that need to change, a lot of different issues that need to be addressed. That's something that it's really hard to lock down one specific thing that needs to change currently.
Okay. All right, Shannon, I know you want to get into talking about that a little bit, but before we do, I want to go ahead and elaborate more on just a few of the specific things that's wrong in our country right now. Story, I don't know if you heard about this one, Shannon. Deshaun Franklin was asleep in his bedroom, 18 years old kid. Police officers busted it, weapons drawn, whole deal. Punched him, including 3 times in the face, tasered, dragged him out of bed, handcuffed him, put him in the car, everything. They found out that, wrong play, sorry about that. They gave him $18. They awarded him $18. The same officers, get this.
Where did this happen?
Listen to this real quick.
Where did this happen? What state, what city? Processing, but yeah.
Let's see.
So we know not to go there for vacation.
South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend Police, Indiana.
But you got to remember that's the thing. People need to start standing up for right and wrong instead of whatever you're supposed to stand up for. That's part of the problem. When something's wrong, people need to call it out. And we need to, stop avoiding when something wrong happens. Because then, when you have cops are like, we do this, well, that's fair enough. But guess what? This other thing is going on too, and that has to stop. We're not talking about everything else you do. We get that it's dangerous out there. But when something goes awry and an innocent person is a victim, we don't need to just, you know, ha, 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 we're in charge. If people want to work together in society, they need to work together and stop ganging up, because all that's going to do is the pointing fingers. That's where we're at now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that we have father and mother of whatever they are running for president.
As the interview was playing a moment ago, I just pulled up, went to Facebook. It took me about 30 seconds to pull up this comment in a news story about Colin Kaepernick. Oh. And I quote, "Well, bottom line is, why disrespect your country like that? There is better and easier way voting. Being in the high-profile position he is, besides, he has lived a privileged life. WTF he know about racism. Probably dated white girls all his life."
Like, what's wrong with people? Like, who thinks that way?
I don't believe in mixing colors.
Who thinks that way?
The internet. There's a lot of that on the internet. That's the racism that we all talk about that doesn't really exist in black and white. Within 30 seconds. I didn't have to look very far to find this. And I can.
But do you think that's the majority of people? I don't, but it's still out there, certainly. And it don't matter. Listen, right now, let me tell you what's going on.
It does still exist.
The loudest, dumbest people are the ones you hear, because they're the loudest.
And when you
have that's what it is. And they're out there. We can't deny it's out there, because it is.
And when you have it permeating in areas of authority, when we start talking about job advancements, when we start talking about law enforcement disproportionately not only just arresting but just harassing people of color at a much greater and higher rate.
Of course.
There's
Listen to this. Those same three officers that I was talking about, okay? Case filed.
South Bend, Indiana.
Case filed. It's just the fact it's in the United States. Look, it's just like...
This is what Colin was talking about. Go ahead.
Like, 7-Eleven store clerk with a learning disability, Jonathan Ferguson. According to a federal complaint, the officer slashed Ferguson's tires, and two of them challenged him to eat a teaspoon of cinnamon in exchange for $30 and a dinner coupon at a local Applebee's. Ferguson did, and he vomited several hours later. Like, we have to acknowledge that we're all just people. There's good people and there's bad people. And then we have to get out of this all is good.
No accountability
all
whatsoever.
All is bad. That's insane. No, that's why we're in this problem, because there's idiots out there. They go, oh my gosh, it infuriates me. When you just, how are you going to judge a man by skin color? That's crazy. We're all human beings. Now look. That affects how we react to the world only because of how people treat us. Because there's stupid people out there that treat people differently because of the way they look. And it's insane. But it happens every single day. And we have to acknowledge, whether it's the troops or police or someone's race, we have to stop viewing everybody as this, you're this whole thing. That is why we're in this problem. It's all, you know, I'm just judging it all. They're cops. They're all good. They're the troops. They're all heroes. You're a certain race. You're all this. You're all that. Stay over there. That's why we're in this problem. Another reason why we're in this problem, I want to read this letter that Congress, 64 members of Congress,
this is a good one.
There's 400, you know, of them. 435, but of them. And 64, it's better than nothing, but, you know, it's being acknowledged. This letter was sent to President Obama, and this is worth hearing. On August the 8th, your administration notified Congress of intent to sell $1.15 billion of weapons to Saudi Arabia, including tanks, which were replaced tanks destroyed in Saudi Arabia's war against rebels in Yemen. We respectfully urge you to postpone this plan and withdraw the notification for the following reasons. Past congressional concerns about Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen have not been addressed. In October, members of Congress wrote to you urging greater efforts to avoid civilian casualties in Yemen and achieve a diplomatic solution to the conflict. This is where it gets interesting. In June, 204 members of the House, including 40 Republicans and all but 16 Democrats, voted to block the transfer of cluster bombs to Saudi Arabia after reports of their use in civilian areas in Yemen. Yet, just in the last several days, a Saudi airstrike on a school in Yemen killed 10 people, some as young as 6 years old, and a Saudi airstrike on a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Yemen killed 11 people. Amnesty International has documented that at least 33 unlawful airstrikes by the Saudi Arabia-led coalition across Yemen that appear to have deliberately targeted civilians in civilian facilities, such as hospitals, schools, markets, and places of worship. These attacks may amount to war crimes. A military campaign has had a deeply troubling impact on civilians. According to a UN office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, which Saudi Arabia is on the UN Human Rights Council, 3,704, including 1,121 children, have been killed during the conflict. 2.8 Yemenis have been internally...
2.8 million.
Yeah, yeah, you got it. Have been displaced by the fighting. Internally displaced, with 83% of the population now dependent on humanitarian assistance for survival. Any decision to sell more arms... Reminder, we're selling them all the weapons they're using to do this. Any decision to sell more arms to Saudi Arabia should be given adequate time for full deliberation by Congress.
Nope. Nope, it don't work that way anymore.
It goes on just to talk about how they're concerned about it, and they need to stop doing it.
Yeah, the American people, Congress, the House of Representatives, know that nobody has control over who we go to war with anymore. That's not the way this works. And we need to start asking the questions of why
it doesn't work. Why are we in these wars? Someone explain
illegally.
It.
Illegally.
And look, we're providing the weapons to do that. We're providing the weapons to do everything I just read. One of the presidential candidates has taken millions and millions and millions. There's reports that go as high as 20-25% have funded her campaign from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention how far they get into with corporate media as well, because they do. They're all over the place. They got the money to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got their propaganda arm stretched very, very far out here.
And the American government allows it.
Every single bit of it.
I wonder why that is.
I wonder. I wonder how that, what that's about.
Same way the corporate America buys politicians and buys, you know, laws
and
legalities. Legalities. Laws don't apply to everybody.
You know, it's a sad...
I try to pull the same shit, man. They're going to put me under the jail.
Well, of course. But, you know... There's people that have positioned themselves to be higher than the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get people in positions of authority that can be good people. But when you get somebody that's just completely driven and self-absorbed, I think that's what you see. These are the people that are willing to fight and are cutthroat to get to the top. And then when you get somebody good in there, if they can win, you get in there and it's so corrupt. Why would you keep doing that? That seems like, you know, what's the point?
I think Bill Murray said it best in the movie Kingpin. His character wins a $1 million prize, and he looks at the camera and says, "Now I finally have enough money to buy my way out of anything."
That's it.
That's the way it works, man.
And that's, you know, that's what it's about. It's
and
about,
we, the American public, are on the losing end of
it's
that.
About
we're
greed.
All waking up.
Yeah,
that
it's about greed. It's about... ego, power, you know. people are just wrapped up in themselves and think they can do what they want. That's it. That's what it's about. And they are doing what they want. And the thing that's really frustrating is how a large percentage of the population, they're just so frustrated with the government. They're all supporting Donald Trump because America, we're going to make it great again. Again implies that it's currently not at its height of greatness. And yet when somebody stands up to or in this case sits down to recognize this, they go crazy because you're not respecting it. And you're not respecting that corrupt authority.
I don't want to live in a country where it's a law and I'm required or forced to stand living, for a song.
Here's the thing. They're living off of stories from the past. And they're living through emotion. And they're refusing to see what's right in front of their eyes. And see how corrupt it has actually gotten because they're hanging on to, you know, stories in history books. And I understand with people, that was my family. I understand that. That should make you even madder. That those people, you know, did fight for freedom, and this is what it's become. What did they fight for if this is what we have now?
Well, here...
And you know what? It could be much worse. I understand that. Look, I just got done describing about how, 83% of the people of Yemen are displaced. I mean, we are very blessed. We are. There's no question about it. But what is our country doing? Where's the justice in our country? I personally don't see it, whether it's a politician... I'm not sure in Alabama they get arrested right and left here.
Well, I just have to point this out. It takes a while. I have to point this out before we end the show here in a minute. This one line in the Star Spangled Banner, it's in the third verse, and I'm sorry, but if I was a person of color, particularly, you know, a member of the people that we forced to come over here and pretty much build everything for us. Would probably take a little
you
bit
got a
of
minute,
exception
Shana.
To. No refuge could save the hireling or and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, and the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Marinate on that for a minute. That's all I got to say about it.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave you with the words of Martin Luther King from the Birmingham jail. First, I must confess that over the last few years, I've been grossly disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumble block in the stride toward freedom is not the Great Citizens Council or the Ku Klux Klan, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. That's us for Anti-Media Radio. I'm S.M. Gibson. We'll be back Thursday. Nick Burnaby will be here tomorrow.
Yo, here we go through the stereo.